Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
It is the Mike O'Mara Show with me, Rob Spiewak, and with Oscar gone, I'd like to debut a new segment. I'd like to spend a big part of the opening of the show getting to know Matt Bloom. We don't have anything else to do here, so we're just going to ask Matt Bloom a lot of questions and get to know Matt Bloom because he's here every day and he has so much to offer. Matt, how you doing? And
I don't
want to interrupt you, so just, this is, the floor is yours, so just go ahead.
Oh, fantastic. I'm doing great.
Oh, wait a second.
Oh, my God.
We have a phone call.
What the hell?
I did not expect this. Let me see who's on the phone. Hello, who's there?
Hold on a second. I want a chai tea. Warm, not too hot, too sweet and lows. Yeah. Come on, make it chop chop. I'm busy. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Donald Trump, how you been?
Hi, how are you? It's great. My voice is a little hoarse.
You've been busy.
It's amazing. We've been very, 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 very busy on the trail.
How busy?
Great crowds. It's amazing. The people have just been clamoring. We had tens of millions of people outside of the auditorium last night.
How many did the auditorium hold?
I don't know, but boy, it was a big number. It was a really big number. There were just people crawling everywhere. You know, I don't know whether this is true, but dozens of people have told me that if they could have had people suspended from the chandeliers with hammocks, they would have been there at my speech in Vermont. And, of course, we had the protesters, and they're all on substances, so it's not that big a deal. You know, and I don't know this for a fact, but I really, people have told me this, that those protesters are really not nice people.
Really? I saw some of the footage, and I think maybe what you should consider is, instead of hammocks, couldn't you suspend them like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible?
Well, I'm financing my own campaign.
Right.
I've spent hours on the road, days, months on the road, talking to people. It's been great. It's been amazing. And, here's the thing. The other candidates wish they were me.
What?
The other candidates wish they were me. They wish they could have these kind of crowds, but they don't have these kind of crowds because they're not me, and they're really not happy. And they're not happy because they don't have the big crowds that I have, and the good and the huge and the successful.
Is it about making America great, or is it about you?
It's about making America great. I'm saying things that everybody wants to hear. I'm saying the things that people care about. I'm putting into small words what people think.
That's
the key.
Your motto.
That's it.
That's the show.
Putting into small words what people think. And, these other countries, because we're weak, they're killing us.
Yes.
They're killing us. And, we're going to lose. And if we lose, we're not going to win. And that's not going to be good. If I'm elected president, believe me, listen to me. Believe me, if I'm elected president within one day, this country will be great again. It'll take 24 hours.
That's it?
24 hours, we will be great again. And the other candidates are trying to keep up, but they can't because they don't have my energy and my health. As my doctor said, I'm the healthiest. You believe me, I will be the healthiest president to ever walk into the office in the history of the presidency. As a matter of fact, my doctor sent me a memo. I'm not going to release it. It's not a lot of medical stuff that you don't want to deal with.
Big words. You don't like big words.
You don't want to burden yourself reading it. Believe me, if you read this, I'll tell you something. You'll be amazed at how healthy I am. I'm not only going to be the healthiest president, I'm going to be the healthiest world leader that has ever gone into the White House, and China will be terrified of Donald Trump just because of my health. The premier of China.
Your health?
Let me tell you this. The premier of China, who's really not a dumb guy, I will tell you, If he reads my health profile, he'll say, "Well, we got to negotiate with him. We got to give up the some of the candy here, because the fact is he's the healthiest man I've ever seen on paper." First thing I'm going to do within 24 hours of a Trump presidency is I will release my health records to all the world leaders, and they're really going to be amazed, because otherwise they're killing us. They're killing us right now. And stand up for the Second Amendment.
And what happens if we lose?
We won't lose. In a Trump presidency, I'll tell you how. You want to know how we're going to lose?
Right.
I don't know this, but dozens of people have told me this. If anybody else is elected president, we will no longer have the government system. We won't have a democracy. Huh? It'll be gone. You believe me, within 24 hours of someone else being elected president, the country will lose big time. Big time. Hold on. I want a fucking chai.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Hi, Rob.
Now, I have a question for you.
Donald Trump back with you.
When you were talking, Donald Trump.
Sure.
You used the word democracy. That word might be too big.
We have an amazing democracy right now.
From now
it's
on,
an amazing democracy.
Instead of using democracy, why don't you use the word vote thing?
The vote thing is, at election day time, it's going to be something that we're going to, you're going to be surprised when these,
really,
primaries start coming and I start winning. And then we're going to weed out the other guys who want to keep up with me, but they can't. And that's sad. It's really sad that they can't keep up with me, because they'd like to. And I know they're not necessarily bad people. I've been told they are. I've been told that many of them are bad people. But that's okay. I don't worry about that. I worry about making America great again and having all the people come out to the polls and vote for Donald Trump.
Donald, can you hold on for a second? I just have an aside.
Of course I can. Yes, of course. Yes.
Isn't it creepy how close it is to real sometimes?
It is.
All right. Donald Trump, we're back.
I heard you. You were on the line, and I don't understand. You know, you're really not a nice person.
I am a nice person.
You've treated me good in the past. That's why I come on your show. But now you're really not nice.
No,
and
good.
If you're not going to be nice, I've got NBC and Fox News and CNN. Don Lemon wants to live at my house.
Well, I think
Don Lemon actually. He's really not. He's a good guy. He's a smart. Don Lemon, one of the smarter journalists, and he's on CNN, which is not nice all of the time.
Does he understand?
As you know.
Does he understand the vote thing?
The vote thing. We all understand the vote thing. But you believe me. This is going to be the most amazing, wonderful, spectacular, winning, huge thing that's ever going to happen to the country. And I know this. Yeah. I know how good it's going to be. I don't want to. All right, I've got a secret plan that if you saw my secret plan,
right,
within 6 months, you believe me, within 6 months of Donald Trump being elected president, there's an outside chance, not 100% sure in this,
right,
of course, that I am 100% sure.
Of course you are.
Every American will have $1 million extra in their bank account.
An extra $1 million. And you promise that.
Believe me, if you're a citizen of the United States and you're not one of the illegal rapists that have come in here, you will have an extra $1 million cash by the time you die.
Well, I want to tell you something.
That's my commitment to you as Donald Trump. That's the way I look at it.
That sounds pretty strong.
That's very strong and huge. And the other candidates don't know how to figure it out. I know money, and I know how to make deals, and I will be great at the military, and I will be great at all of these things.
Let's take this piecemeal. How will you be great at the military?
There's nobody that loves the military more than I do. Donald Trump loves the military.
What's your favorite branch?
And I will be great at it. I love the ships. I love the ships
the
on
Navy.
The sea.
The Navy, then.
I love the ships on the sea.
Do you like when the ships are big or when they're small?
I love it. An aircraft carrier, I'm not an idiot. I know you're talking to me like I'm one, and you're not treating me right, really nicely right now.
But I will tell you,
if you're not going to treat me nicely, there's a chance I might not come back in your program, but that's okay.
No, you won't get the big ratings.
And you won't have, what do you do, downloads with your little podcast that you have?
Mm.
Well, they're just going to go away. And when you have two downloads, compared to tens of thousands, you're going to say, boy, why was I not nice to Trump? And you'll rethink that. But I'll tell you, aircraft carriers are spectacular. They're huge. They've got big decks with planes. I love soldiers. I love soldiers
so
and helmets and
army.
Guns. I love the Army and the Marine Corps. I love the Marine sure. Corps as well with their dress uniforms and their swords. They're fantastic. They spend hours training and drilling out on the field. I love them. I enjoy it. And even the Coast Guard. I like the Coast Guard yes. because without the Coast Guard, people will be washing up on our beaches with big giant bazookas and blowing up our cities.
Illegal
that
people.
That wouldn't be a good thing. That would be very scary. All right, that would be scary. And because the people, believe me, the people that wash up on the beaches with mm-hmm. the bazookas are really not nice. They want to kill us, and they're going to kill us if we don't make America great again by putting by having the president who's good at the military.
Now listen, I love that you're good at the military, but I also
thank
know
you.
Your time is limited. I'd like to do some word association. There are
sure.
so many people that have their hat in the ring.
I've only got
some names.
I've got about 45 seconds. I've got to go to a campaign rally, so you better make this quick. Chop,
all right.
chop.
All right, here we go.
Can we get security to move a little faster, get those protesters out of the...
Your lazy security thank seemed you. Unenergetic.
Well, we'll be making some changes. I don't like that. That's not the way I operate. But I'm ready for your word association.
Right.
Chop, chop. Make
right.
it quick.
Marco Rubio.
Weak.
Okay, Hillary Clinton.
Weak. Excuse me. I want to rephrase that
okay.
one. Weak. Loser. Loser.
All right, Jeb Bush.
Pansy.
Pansy it is.
That's an old one, huh? How do you like that one? I think mm-hmm. I might get in trouble for that, but I'll bounce back. I always do.
I think you're catering to 65 plus when
I
you
always
say pansy.
Do. Pansy. Pansy. Nancy boy. No, Nancy girl. Sorry, go ahead.
Chris Christie.
Fat.
Barack Obama.
Loser.
Bernie Sanders.
Old.
And I final word association, Mr. Trump.
Yes.
Sofia Vergara.
Piece of ass.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Got room for one more?
Who the hell are you? And what happened to them?
Name's Major Marcus Warren, former U.S. Cavalry. Currently a servant of the court. Trying to bring a couple no-goods in the market.
You taking them into Red Rock?
Figure that's where you headed, right?
Yeah.
May I come aboard?
If it up to me, yes. But it ain't up to me.
Who's it up to?
Fella in the wagon.
Fella in the wagon ain't partial company?
Fella in the wagon, he paid for a private trip, and I'm here to tell you, he paid a pretty penny for privacy. So if you want to go to Minnie's with us... You're gonna have to talk to him.
Well, that's what I'll do.
Well, I tell you what, Bob. The name's John. When we get to Red Rock, I'll buy you and Major Marquess there dinner and booze. My way of saying thanks.
I don't drink with rebel renegades, and I damn sure don't break bread with them.
Well, Mr. Ruth,
what up,
you sound like you got an axe to grind against the cause.
God, renegade army. Bunch of losers gone loco, you bet I do. Wrapped yourselves up in a rebel flag as an excuse to kill and steal.
Sound to me you've been reading a lot of newspapers printed in Washington, D.C. Anywho, I'm just trying to let y'all know how grateful I am. I was a goner, and y'all saved me.
You want to show me how grateful you are? Shut up.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are coming to you live from the Cappy Fiber Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, online and on air worldwide. Nailed it. The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. And if you're here, you do too. Our show today brought to you by Sleep Number. I love my Sleep Number
yes.
bed. I am telling you, they want me to talk about some certain things here, but I want to tell you a private story first because the
ooh.
Fact is I have been slaving over this golf game of mine and trying desperately
yes.
to improve. And because of that, I have been just torquing the crap out of my back. And I go to bed at night. I got up from dinner the other night, and I could hardly straighten up. And I wake up in the morning,
And it's all better now. And I can only attribute that to the Sleep Number bed that just makes my sleep so fantastic. Why don't you make sleep your number one New Year's resolution? Because science proves that getting more sleep will make it easier to achieve and keep your other resolutions. For the best possible sleep, there's my bed, the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology. Whether it's adjusting your sleep number setting or making different lifestyle choices, you'll always know what's working because Sleep IQ can prove it to you with your Sleep IQ score. My sleep number setting is a 90. Carla's is a 65. And last night, my Sleep IQ score was again a 93.
You're
it
so
goes
good
between
at it.
A 92 and a 93.
You're so
always
good
great.
At sleeping, Mike.
I love Thank you, Rob. Sleep Number mattresses start at your only contribution to this commercial. Thank you so much. Sleep Number mattresses start at only $799.99. And right now, during the lowest prices of the season, you can save $600 on the Sleep Number i8 bed. Rated number one by a leading consumer magazine. No better sleep with Sleep Number. Sleep Number beds and Sleep IQ technology only available at any of the 475 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to bat those eyelashes of yours and tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. You're not doing the thing anymore, are you?
No, I did. I thought you saw it.
Forgive me. Just don't hold it up for 2 hours today. Don't worry about
that.
Okay,
we're good. We're all good.
Welcome to the show. Let's get right to it because we kept him waiting. For all of you listeners out in Iowa, in KCJJ land.
Hit that for me, Pony.
We have a special guest now. Tommy Lang, who used to be Captain Steve and Tommy, used to be on the show with Steve Bridges out at KCJJ in Iowa. He's a friend of the Mike O'Mara show.
Good
And
guy.
About a year ago, was it about a year ago that
he got
a brand new shiny liver.
Hello.
Isn't that right?
Hey, Tommy.
Tommy Lang.
Hello.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, how's it going?
How's it going, Tommy Lang? Tommy, we were talking to Captain Steve the other day, and your name came up. And your name's come up a couple of times because it to me is always a fascinating story, whether somebody is world famous or not, when they pretty much stare death in the face.
Yeah, cheat
and
death.
And come out on the other side. And we were just saying it was about a year ago that you got a brand new shiny liver, and it was just an amazing story. We all were following along with your situation back then, and I just thought it'd be fascinating when I was talking to Steve the other day to get you on the show. And if you don't mind, I'd love to talk about your story because I think it is a pretty interesting story, and I'd love to know more about it. So if you'll have us, we can do that right now. Is that cool?
I will indulge you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Steve. There you go. I want to get to that. I want to get to that part. That's a little arrogant right there. I will indulge you, Tommy Lang. First of all, let's start with your health today. How are you feeling? What is the very latest for people that would be curious about your health that followed you through this show online? How are you doing right now?
Well, the good news is all of my blood levels have come back great, even better than expected. They told me in the last couple months.
Oh, good.
Sorry, my liver levels. That also affected my kidneys pretty badly. Those have been up now. White blood cell counts up. All the different counts, you know, hemoglobin, all that stuff is up where it should be.
Good.
So that's the good news. The only thing I have left to do is, because I've lost all this weight from the surgery, because it basically allowed my system to flush out all the fluids and the toxins and everything with the good liver, I have this big flap of basically skin now. When I stand up straight, put it this way, it looks like I've got like a Jay Leno chin under my belly button.
Wow.
There's this big sort of extended thing of skin they need to basically cut out.
That's cosmetic, though, right? Primarily cosmetic?
It's primarily cosmetic, but also it's sort of like a woman getting a breast reduction. It just changes your posture. And really, is my back some days is just unbearably bad. I have some pain pills for that, which I don't have to take all the time. I'll take them sometimes I'll go a week or two without taking one. And sometimes, you know, there's two or three days where it's just so intense, I can barely move.
Without getting too personal, how much weight did you lose?
At my highest, because of this, I was at 380.
I didn't know you were that big, Tommy. I had no idea.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Well, that was undiagnosed. It was weird. I got that big a few years ago, and the doctor just said, well, we don't know what's causing this. Here's some furosemide, which is sort of a diuretic. And I went back down to somewhere in the 200s. Before the surgery, I was probably at about 280, maybe 250. Obviously, I wasn't in my right mind to keep track of these things. because it does affect your brain when your liver isn't working. And,
right.
I can imagine.
After the surgery, my lowest I got down to was 175.
So but that was 200 pounds, man. That's wild.
Yeah, and I've gone up since then. Part of it is natural. Part of it is me just not caring, which is not a good thing.
No, you got to be healthy now, dude.
I know. It's like, I'm this skinny now. I can have a chocolate bar every day. No, you can't do that. So
right.
They do want me to lose. That's part of why I can't do the surgery yet. They want me to lose probably another 20 pounds, which I've already lost some of that, so that's good.
All right. It sounds like, though, the you've got the issue with the back, but the crucial stuff, the stuff that the life and death stuff, which is, you know, you think in terms of with any transplant, you think in terms of rejection,
right?
All those, major organs failing, all that stuff is on the up and up and looking good for you, correct?
Yeah, all that stuff, the organs and everything are great.
That's great.
That internal stuff is great. It's just the back pain, and occasionally because of some of the meds I'm taking, I'm susceptible to gout.
Okay,
but
relatively minor stuff compared to the big picture, correct?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's good. I'd rather, yeah.
And the doctor feels that once you get your weight regulated and the excess skin removed, that will alleviate the back pain because you're no longer going to have that stress on that musculature, right? Okay.
All right, let's talk about leading up to this time, because it came as a complete and total, I'd met you a couple of times, I'd seen you, you were a big guy, but when I started hearing about this, I was surprised, and I'm sure a lot of people outside of your inner circle and people that knew you were probably surprised at this, and I'll get some personal questions out of the way. What led, did this, was this a booze thing? Was this a hereditary thing? Was this
100% booze.
So now let me ask you this, because I have a buddy, and the reason this story fascinates me and this whole liver issue is near and dear to my heart is I had a dear friend of mine, a bartender, that we lost because of liver failure, and it was one of the most my friend Jimmy Cerrito and I went to see him, and I've never seen anything like it. It was horrible, and that you were right on the heels of that, and I was like, oh my God, just again. And one of the things, Tommy, that this guy dealt with, that I think maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe it was your situation too. It was the booze, but probably you were high functioning. A lot of people didn't know how much booze you were consuming. Is that right?
No, I would drink as soon as I got home from work and knew I didn't have to do anything until the next morning.
But as far at work, nobody really be. It's not like you couldn't perform or show up for work, or that you were. That's when I say high functioning. You were chugging along, but you were drinking. How much at your pinnacle of consumption? What were you putting away on an average?
I was capable of drinking a bottle of Jägermeister in a day.
Oh wow!
Wow!
And I'd go through. I don't know what the. Sizes. What are those sort of larger vodka bottles, like the ones that almost have a handle on them?
Oh, that would be a 1.5 gallon. Yeah.
Yeah. I go through one of those maybe every 3 days.
Oh, so you were drinking hard stuff and you were drinking did you do most of your drinking alone?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh wow, Tommy, I had no idea that was going on.
And it really kept me from doing things. I, you know, people want to do stuff at night and I'm just like ready to pass out and go to bed, you know. And,
right.
When I shouldn't, like earlier in the evening.
And then just pass out until morning. This is when you're doing morning drive. So what time are you getting up in the morning?
Oh, I'd get up around 4:15, but I'd be out by like 10 or 11.
Wow.
I was actually very good at not getting much sleep at night because I'd basically drink when I got home from work, you know, go pass out for a couple hours or 3 or 4 hours. Then I'd get up again, start drinking and watching like primetime TV again.
Wow.
So I had like two little sessions, I guess.
You know, it's amazing to think that, you know, you're able to even function, especially morning drive, guys. You got to know.
Yeah.
I've done it. I mean, that is, and the grind is physically is just, so that I'm sure played a part too. I mean, they're just taking a toll with all that. How many years did you figure that kind of lifestyle continued for you? How long did you do it?
Oh, it goes back to my last radio job.
Wow.
I would say, I mean, I would drink right out of college, but as far as, I think it was when I went to morning drive, which was probably back in 2002, because your internal clock isn't the same as other people's, and you're done working for the day by, say, 2 in the afternoon, and, you know, you're like, well, what do I do? Nobody else wants to do anything. They're all at work. Well, I'm just going to sit here and drink and screw around on the internet for a while.
So it was nothing more insidious than that. It was just that you were bored, and that kind of took care of the boredom.
And also you had to work with Steve.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, that doesn't help.
Well, and I worked for I worked for Cumulus. That's when it started.
So oh my God. There we go. I'll say no more. Well, that's a little inside broadcasting for everybody. Yeah, that would drive me. Glad I never had those guys hanging over my head. They're just the people that fired me. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Tommy
Lang.
Welcome Tommy's.
To the club.
Tommy's of formerly of the Captain Steve and Tommy show. He's also on KCJJ now. Give a plug for your show, Tommy. Tell us all about your new enterprise on KCJJ.
Well, obviously, when I went, they were getting ready for the surgery. What happened was, it actually kind of ties into the story. Finally, and I kind of knew something was wrong with me, but I've always been a hypochondriac. So I, you know, knew something was wrong, but I didn't want to tell myself something was wrong. And one day, March 2014, a guest said, "Wow, you don't look good. You look yellow and this." And a friend, Justin, the weatherman, came in and said the same thing. Nobody I know work with noticed it because they saw me every day.
So it's gradual.
You know, it's yeah, gradual. So I went in, got checked out, took me to one hospital, took me to another hospital. I took an ambulance between the two hospitals. And when I finally met a liver specialist at the University Hospital here in Iowa City, they said, yeah, we don't know if you're going to make it out of here. You know,
wow.
We don't know how far along
this is. This is fascinating to me, Tommy. What was the time frame between... you know, somebody saying you look bad, you ought to get checked out, and somebody looking you in the eye and telling you there was a chance you could die?
Same day.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Goodness. Oh,
same day.
My. And you were, you, as you said, you were a hypochondriac, but you chalked it up to, you know, that's just you. You had no idea this was coming.
Well, I kind of knew I needed to stop drinking, but I never, you know, it's like maybe at some point down the road or I'll have some kind of wake up call. And that was the wake-up call. Unfortunately, it was way further than it needed to be. But so they actually were able, to leave the hospital a couple weeks later, and they had me on different meds. They thought they could, okay, heal it up or at least enough that it would work and function on its own. But they told me transplant, there'd be like a 10% chance of transplant.
I mean, they'd say a 10% chance that you needed a transplant or a 10% chance that you would be able to get a transplant?
That I would even need one.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And this is now we're talking about April of 2014. I went through the summer and the fall and took some meds, and they're awful meds. You're on the can the whole time. It's not fun. So by November, I start to get what I think is the flu, and I miss some days of work. And finally, it gets so bad I can't even walk around anymore. So go to the hospital, or somebody took me to the hospital, and they find out I have E. coli.
Wow.
Basically killed the liver. I mean, it basically finished off.
So that's was this, but, and was this because of all, do you think you got the E. coli because of all the meds and stuff like that? That it was easier for that to invade your system?
No, I live by myself, and I honestly think I undercooked my meat a lot. I was not the most sanitary guy by myself.
Right.
You know, I was kind of a messy guy because I was so weak I couldn't, you know, clean every day around the kitchen and the oven and stuff like that. So...
So the E. coli, did the E. coli attack an already weakened liver and just finish it up?
Basically, yes. Wow. That's when they said you need a transplant.
All right, let's take a break. Tommy, this is so fascinating, I think, for anybody that might have somebody that's, you know, that they worry about. I mean, this is educational for people. We're going to come back, talk about the rest of Tommy's odyssey with his liver and what he went through, and then, you know, how he came out of it. And we've joked about that because that, I really want to get a perspective on that as well. Mm-hmm. We're with Tommy Lang from KCJJ, who has a brand new shiny liver that's doing really, really well. We're hearing his story, which is fascinating. We're going to come back and talk more to Tommy right after this. We'll take a short break. Be right back. You know,
this week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
I am speaking at my church, which is a Lutheran / Episcopalian hybrid church.
Is this something you've seen other churchgoers do? Is it like a normal thing?
Yes, but it's more along the lines of a pitch, and I'm not doing a pitch.
Wait. But if you did this, then you could really affect the congregation who does some real good in
Oscar,
your community.
Oscar, I know where you're going. You want me to pitch our bonus content?
No, at the church. That is crass. You go huge.
Oh.
And you walk in there with a Facillo pitch.
Yeah.
This is a great church, I gotta tell you right now. This church is fantastic. These specials are great right now. You're gonna do it. Everybody that wants to donate right now, I'm gonna send you a free comb. You're gonna get a comb. It's gonna be a huge church.
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This segment of our program brought to you by Texture. I love Texture,
yeah.
And I will tell you, I am reading the most fascinating article right now about money and politics, and it's Esquire magazine, and I read it on Texture, and it is truly eye-opening, and just about how great this country is and how great it really is, maybe how great it could be. It's educational. I recommend it highly.
Cool.
I love Texture. Making New Year's resolutions are easy. Sticking to them tough. Get fit with Men's Health. Fix your wardrobe with Esquire. Read about the country with Esquire. If you want to be the next Bill Gates, download Forbes or Fortune and stay in the know. Texture is still the best way to read all your favorite magazines anytime, anywhere, because you can read them on your phone or tablet. It's a great new way to get your magazine content. Plus, the Texture editorial team recommends stories each day, and their curated collections let me dive deep into my favorite topics. Super easy to use,
yes.
Too. Just click the headlines, and Texture takes you instantly to the article. Stop wasting time. Stop wasting paper. Stop wasting money. Get Texture today. The best part? Texture is offering a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/TMOS. Think about it. Full access to the world's best magazines, from back issues to the ones on newsstands today. Take advantage of this offer right now and tackle your New Year's resolution with some serious magazine know-how. Try Texture for free right now. It's really a wonderful
awesome.
App. Texture.com/TMOS, and we thank you. We are here with a really, you know, I booked Tommy because I wanted to bust his chops about how cocky he was after his liver transplant
surgery.
And we'll
get to that.
And we will get to that, but the fact is, I truly, truly find this story to be fascinating. Maybe because I lost
journey.
A friend that didn't come out on the other side of this. We're talking with Tommy. When last we checked, Tommy had been told that that he didn't have any time to live. They might not get out of the hospital, but then they let him out of the hospital. He went on medication. Then he got E. coli, and that put you back in the hospital, and that's where we were when we left off, Tommy. So take it from here.
Well, they had told me you need to have a transplant, and they used the phrase sooner rather than later. This is in December at this point, early December last year. But they let me go home. I mean, they gave me some meds, said, okay, we have to wait until you fill out paperwork and have to do all this and get on special insurance. And so there's a lot of paperwork.
How terrifying is that? I have a question, because I think for anybody that would deal with what you dealt with, a catastrophic medical situation.
Right.
How terrifying is that when you're in the system and you realize that, you've got something that is time sensitive to your very existence on this planet? It's got to be a terrifying experience, I would think.
It is, because you don't know if you're going to get approved. You think, why wouldn't I be approved? But you never know. There's no guarantee.
And is it also not a matter of approval, but also availability, waiting list, timing? There's a lot of variables at play.
Well, that's different. The waiting list is a little different. I can get into that.
Okay.
I actually wound up living with my parents because I couldn't take care of myself on my own. And I was living with them until finally in February. They looked at some of my levels that I was getting every week, blood levels, and they said, we need to get you into the hospital now. They didn't at the time indicate that I was going to be there until the transplant, but I wound up being there till the transplant. I was there about a month and a half. Hmm. And it was interesting. Some of the doctors, I had forgotten about this until a friend of mine who was in the room at the time told me about this. One of the doctors came in and I asked a couple of questions. And one of the things he said was, I don't know. We've never had anybody with a liver this bad live this long before.
Jeez. Oh, my
and that
God.
Hit, yeah.
I would imagine so. That's got to be stunning.
Yeah.
That's truly, truly. So you're in the hospital. I remember you were posting pretty regularly at that point. You're letting people know what's going on. And it was
got a new
sad
iPhone.
To watch.
Easy, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it was amazing because I was watching you get thinner and thinner, and you looked, you looked like hell. I think anybody who saw you on Facebook knew that. So after they told you this, that it's bad, the waiting game continues, right?
Right. The waiting game continued, and they said, well, there's something called a MELD score, which is basically how badly you need a new organ. And anything below, I think, a 15 or 20, you don't need a transplant, but they take care of you. Above a 20 needs a transplant. If you get above 40, they basically, for lack of a better term, farm you out to the whole United States, because there are regions for transplants. And I'm in sort of this Midwest, upper Midwest region that has like the Dakotas, Nebraska. And they look for a liver within that region. Unless you get to 40, and then they can go to any region and get one.
Okay.
And which is weird because you're rooting for yourself to get more sick to get a better chance at an organ.
It's that's so kind of mess with your mind a little bit.
Yeah, and I did hit 40 at one point. They were probably kind of looking at dialysis for a while, and I think I was only a few days away from it.
Okay.
When they hit 40, they expanded it, found one for me in Colorado. Had the surgery on St. Patrick's Day of last year, actually, which was weird, wheeling me into the operation room.
That was funny. I remember that. I think I probably posted on your webpage, too, you know, saying, but what a perfect day for a liver transplant. So how many people celebrating that holiday really need it? You know?
Normally, it's
they're wheeling me down. There's people on TV at the parade, like, drinking on camera.
Right.
There I am being wheeled into the OR. Woke up a couple days later, and when I woke up, I kind of knew, hey, wait a minute, I made it. You know,
hey, Tommy, let me ask you this. When you're and I've met your dad and I've been out there in Iowa. When
I'm sorry about that.
When you are I remember I had a I had an angiogram when I thought I had a ticker issue. And I remember looking at Carla and they said to me that, you know, you're going to go in. If they see something, they're going to open you up and maybe put a stent or maybe even do a bypass. And you kind of say to yourself, this might be it. In your particular situation, you've got much worse odds with a transplant because things can go long. What is that like? That moment when you are just about to go under and what do you say your goodbyes? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, how did you prepare?
I kind of said my goodbyes, but I was trying to be confident enough to think it's like a 90% success rate or 95% success rate, and the university hospital here is above average.
Right.
So I was confident. It's like, well, what if I'm not? You know, what can I do? It's an inevitable thing. I mean, you don't want it to be the last time you see your family, but you know, what if it is? What am I going to do about it? I mean,
so you were
I'll
kind
be
of
gone. I'm just not waking up.
Mm-hmm. You were at peace with it then.
Kind of, yeah. And I mean, I knew I was gonna. I hadn't given up.
Right.
I just felt like I was confident enough that I was going to get through this. For some reason, I just felt just like I'm going to get through this, and I did.
All right, and you didn't. You came out on the other side. That takes us right to the moment where I have busted your balls on this show a couple of times. It stunned me when you came back, and this video is burned into my brain.
Yeah.
Tommy Lang looking at the camera and saying, I'm back. And I was stunned. I was stunned for a couple of reasons. It's a little odd, Tommy. You will give me that. And it's also amazingly lacking in any humility. I was stunned by that. And I needed to get into your head. That's the whole purpose of booking you on this show is I need to know. We had Buzz come out on the other side of a major lung thing where we almost lost Buzz. And when he came back, I said, how do you feel? And he said, I feel cocky. And I've watched your posts about it. And did you feel the same way after this? That
what is it with newsmen?
What is it with you news guys? You feel cocky. Where's the humble? Where's the throw yourself on your knees and thank your Lord and Savior that you've gotten another life like a cat? I'm very curious about that.
That's actually a normal psychological condition for transplant patients. I found
Okay, great. Okay,
really?
That's, tell me about that. It's good. Talk to me about that because I want to be educated.
Okay. And I didn't really notice this until like months later. But yeah, you can you feel like I beat it. I mean, you know, you're not out of the woods. You still got to heal up and everything. But all the worrying and all the humility kind of comes before it. You know, you realize, oh God, you know, I might not make it. I need to make peace with everyone.
Right.
No, I don't know if it's going to end well.
Did you feel any guilt leading up to it? Did you feel any guilt about, you know, and incidentally, thank you so much for your candor about this.
This is wonderful,
Tommy. That can't be, you're really great at talking about this. And, you know, I had no idea that it was the booze to that extent. And I think this is educational for people as well. You know, so leading up to it, did you feel a tremendous amount of guilt over what you had done to yourself?
A little bit. I mean, I had a friend in radio who died of cancer about the time I went into the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And he was just the nicest guy. I mean, he didn't screw up his life. He was married. His wife was pregnant with their first child. Mm. And I think I even said something like, you know what? Maybe it should have been, you know, he's gone and I'm here. I felt really guilty about that. I felt I put myself here.
Right.
You know, and I did this to myself. And how many people who live a good life don't make it past, you know, 40 or 50 years old.
Right.
And you know, you're right, because, you know, there was a lot of that. A lot of, I screwed this up myself, but, you know, hey, I'm going to fight for my life no matter what.
Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. I completely understand that. And then, so you're talking about coming out of it and, you know, it's a success, and you're saying that's a normal reaction from a lot of transplant patients that you kind of feel, well, tell me how you feel, because I don't know. I'm ready to hear.
Well, I mean, a lot of it in my situation was a little more even dire leading up to the operation. I told you about the doctor saying nobody's lived this long. They also had me fill out a sheet because they wanted to, because it was such a rare situation that that liver was this bad. They wanted to save parts of it for future research, and I had to fill out a form for that.
Wow.
So, like, I'm literally in, like, the Medical Hall of Fame of the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. It's like, they might as well raise the uniform of my liver and hang it in the rafters. It's like it's somewhere being stored.
Does the condition of your liver leading up to the transplant, that really doesn't have any effect? Does that have any effect on how the transplant will go? I mean, they're getting the bad one out the hell out of there, right? Does it?
And they got a good one. What's funny is the one they gave me, and they don't tell you much about the donor, but there are certain things they have to tell you. And the things they told me about the one that they found in Colorado was, I knew he was in his 20s, and he'd been in jail a couple of times. They found out it was for OWI, but still, if they're in jail, they need to tell you that.
OWI, is that drinking and driving?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's DWI or...
DWI, okay.
I just want to make sure.
Here it's called operating while intoxicated.
Okay.
So they tell you that, right?
Yeah, and he'd once used intravenous drugs, but it was like 10 years ago. And they test the liver for all this stuff, and they've never had a bad liver come through, but they feel they need to tell you.
Right.
And I, even though I was looking at, you know, I was like probably 2 days away from dialysis at this point, I kind of hemmed and hawed at it. My surgeon came in and said, "You would be an idiot not to take this liver." So she was very frank about it. I said, "Oh, yeah, let's do it." And they said, actually, the operation took about, it usually takes about 8 hours. Mine took like 5. It just slipped right in perfectly from what they told me.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's great. And so you come out on the other side, and we see the videos of that. My wife said to me, "Tommy, you'll get a kick out of that." Carla said, "Well, he was probably under the influence of some drugs when he came out on that." Were there any narcotics at play when you made that little video? I'm back.
Oh, of course.
Oh, that's comfortable.
So you come out of that, and then in the days, weeks, months following the transplant, tell us about the mindset. How does it change? How does it, is it the same? I'm curious about that.
Well, it's a long road to recovery. I mean, I couldn't really walk very well on my own. I had trouble going up, like, you know, a curb, stepping up a curb, much less climbing stairs. And, you know, there's still a bunch of sutures on you, staple it shut, and that's in there for a couple weeks. And you really have to rehab. There's a lot of physical rehab that comes with that that I had to do for a couple months.
How long is the incision? Because my mom donated a kidney to my aunt because of her diabetes. And the incision on the donor is huge. How big is the recipient's incision for this transplant, Tommy?
You know, I've never put a ruler down there, but...
Hey.
It starts at my side and goes past the belly button, about halfway between the belly button and my side on the other side.
Wow. So you have a long rehab. How's the mind at this point? What's your mindset? Obviously, you've got a second lease on life. I would imagine it's pretty, I'm going to beat this. I'm gonna take advantage of this. And is that where you were? Is that where you got to?
Yeah, and there are still toxins in you that the old liver couldn't process, and the new liver can't just funnel them all through at once. So the brain was a little off for a few weeks right after the surgery. You know, I'd forget simple names and things like that, or things I'd done. But that improved a lot. I still get a little bit of that sometimes. If I'm like up really late and tired, I'll forget very basic stuff. But it's just a matter of getting some sleep.
When that happens, do you find that horrifying? I would think, as someone who deals in a fact-based industry, as a newsman, if you don't have your recall...
I was going to say, no, he doesn't. He's a newsman.
Tonight on Counterpoint. Exactly. But does that really trouble you?
It's more embarrassing. It doesn't happen that often, to be honest with you.
Good.
But it's a little embarrassing when it does. And usually it's like late at night if I'm talking to somebody, or, you know, I'm on the phone with my mom or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It never really happens at work, which, thank God for that.
Good.
And if it does, I usually talk to people.
Did Steve Bridges ever do an extensive interview with you about your condition like I'm doing with you right now?
No, I don't think he has. Yeah, I think we brought it up. Not this extensive, but
okay. Well, he's busy.
About it.
It's the auction day, Mike. He can't do this.
So here, yeah. I'm glad he's back. But you had a lot of friends out there, and I would imagine, you know, when you talk about the time spending alone and all that, you know, as far as getting inside your head, I'm not my brother's keeper, but have you, obviously you make the physical changes you need to make, and with the weight loss, sometimes you fall off the diet wagon. What other changes, what's changed the most in your life since you have recovered from this transplant surgery?
Well, the first one is I don't drink anymore, which is good.
Yeah.
It's kind of mandatory, but yeah, I mean, I haven't had a lot of trouble struggling with that, as weird as it sounds. I keep wanting to thinking I'm going to get in one of those points where I'm in a bar and I'm fighting off an urge to order a drink, or I can't be around beer or people who are drinking. I just don't have that.
Wow.
I can still go out with my friends and, you know, just have maybe like a pop or lemonade or something, and I'm fine.
Do you find yourself, because a lot of your drinking was done when you were alone at home, do you find yourself reaching out more to friends and family members on a social basis?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a smaller pool of friends because my age, you know, I'm single. I don't have any kids. I want to go out and do stuff, whereas my peer group is married. They got kids. They don't want to go out on the weekends or this or that. So, I mean, it's mostly, yeah, family. And I do have a few friends that are pretty tight that I'll hang out with when they're available. But, you know, that's fine. I'm kind of used to that. When I'm more mobile, once I have the surgery and I'm kind of, you know, back in the full groove, I think I'll be, you know, more social than that. Because I've been going to more events lately. Okay. Iowa basketball and football. It was great. Beginning of the football season, I couldn't even make it around the stadium. By the end, I was going to like every single game, which was great this season. But
oh, that's great.
Did you go out to the Rose Bowl or did you stay back in Iowa?
Oh, I stayed back in Iowa. I didn't have the money for that. And
yeah, I mean, 14 grand or some insane prices for the Rose Bowl.
Money.
So right now, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that a lot of our my coworkers did. So I kind of was part of the skeleton crew that had to stay home and work.
So what's the prognosis so far? What do you see? What's the future for old Tommy Lang? This has been an absolutely fascinating discussion about your situation. Where do you go from here, Tommy? What's your mindset?
That's a really good question. I mean, I'm just kind of going day to day right now. At the time I first went into the hospital, but when E. coli hit, Steve had to bring in a co-host temporary at the time, Jim Hunter. And when it was obvious I wasn't coming back anytime soon, he put him, this is actually the question you asked me a while ago and I forgot to answer. He put him in there full time, which he had to. He knew it was going to be months and months before he'd come back. But he found a little opening for me, which is fine because, you know, because of the back and everything else, I'm still on disability.
Right.
But I can work a set number of part-time hours. So he basically gave me a 2-3 hour show that runs between their show and, you know, a different show. And then you guys are on at 4:30, of course, our time.
Mm-hmm.
So you gave me a shift, and I don't know where the name Hey Lang came from. It actually came from one of our listeners, I should say, but I don't know why I chose that for the name of the show. I'm like, why not?
Hey Lang.
Hey Lang. Well, you know what? Welcome back.
Here, man.
I think all of us that were following that and a lot of us who were thinking, oh, man, this is not looking good. It's a tremendously happy story. Yes, go ahead, Tommy.
I wanted to thank your listeners because we set up a fundraising thing to pay for my medical bills. And you talked about it on your show one day, maybe put it on Facebook or something. And the number of people I saw that I didn't even know donating to it, all Mike O'Mara Show fans, just sending, you know, making their donations was great. So I want to thank, you know, because I know
amazing,
not everybody listens.
We have probably the most generous listening audience of anybody. The charitable works that our audience has done, it's not us. It's the people that listen to this show. And how we've benefited personally from people that have been kind to me, and it's just
all
astonishing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's I know they appreciate that. And Tommy, really fascinating. Thanks for being so open about it. And
thank you for promoting it too when I was in the hospital, because that without you promoting it, those people never would have donated. And yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And I guess before I go, I want to say happy Elvis's birthday to Rob.
Well, thank you, Tommy.
There you go.
I appreciate it. If he had the doctors you had, we might still have him.
And I'm really glad that we didn't have to see Tommy Lang that cold day in hell. Glad we didn't have to do with that. Tommy, good luck and keep in touch. And, jump out of the bushes and hit that other guy over the head that's doing the news with Steve when you're ready.
Yeah, put
that's
him in middays and call it Hey Hunter.
I've been tempted. Don't worry.
All right. Take care, Tommy. Thanks for coming on the
Tommy.
Show.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. That was cool. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it, man?
He's
that
great.
Was really, really
he is
interesting.
So cool. And God
that was,
bless him.
That was interesting, and you know, you never know. That's a lot of it. The same thing where you don't know when somebody's doing that to their own body at home, and a lot of it happens in secret. And so if you got somebody you're suspicious of with that type of activity, you got to be proactive, like everything in life. Don't
talk
you, Rob?
Yeah, that's right, Mike. I want to talk to you after the show.
Thank you very much.
If that's
we'll
okay. Just a moment.
We'll take a break. Come back with more fun. I'll tell you about the best dentist appointment
Yay!
Ever.
Woo!
When we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Club W, everybody. One of the great pleasures in life, coming home and feeling relaxed with a nice glass of wine. One of the great tragedies in life is when you don't have that wine to enjoy.
True.
But with Club W, you never have to worry about being wine-free again. Club W is the revolutionary new wine club that sends wine directly to your door. And here's what's great. They give you a little survey that gets you to tell them exactly the kind of wine that you like. And they will send you wine that you will love.
Yes.
They have an easy 6-question palate profile quiz. Club W makes sure every bottle you receive is tailored to your taste. This is a brilliant concept.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised nobody's done it before this. You don't need to be a wine expert. Club W knows that you will enjoy every single bottle they send. They even offer a no-risk guarantee that you will love. And you're going to love this. It's really great. By working directly with the vineyards, Club W cuts out the middleman and saves you money as well. Right now, Club W offering our listeners 50% off their first order when they go to clubw.com/TMOS. Don't ever come home to a wine-free house again. Just go to clubw.com/TMOS to get 50%
yes.
off your first order. That's clubw.com/TMOS, and thank you.
Very, very
well,
cool.
Little nervousness yesterday with the brand new dentist that I had. It had been the last dentist I really frequented was our guy up in Washington, D.C.
Oh, at the Dental Funhouse?
Let me ask you this. You get cleanings like every 3 months from that place.
Well,
you
know
go
what?
In all the time.
I was a 6-month guy, although
okay.
with the way things are in our household right now, maybe
yes.
once a year.
Once
because
a year.
We're no longer we're no
on
longer
that
covered.
Insurance?
Right.
Okay.
So
all right.
I'll head there if I hit a cavity.
Well, the thing is, when you got the cleaning, did she just use the hooks on you, right?
Yeah, and I had one hygienist that I preferred. And
but they didn't use any modern stuff, is what I'm saying, right?
Well,
they didn't sandblast you with like the super ultrasound.
Yeah, thing, they do that.
They didn't when I was there.
Really?
Not that I don't remember that. I remember this was
with like the
I just,
super. It shoots like a needle of water, and
that's exactly what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
okay.
they have
did
that.
Have that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, see, maybe it was a lot longer that I've been there, but I felt like an old man because I'm like, yeah, this is great. No, we've had this technology for quite some time.
Mike, if you're really old, you can just stop by and drop your teeth off.
They actually had an X-ray on the right and the front, the back, and they did a panoramic X-ray.
They did
this little thing where
the
stick a camera. They stick like a little toothbrush in your mouth that's a camera so they can get a super close-up look at your teeth. They take pictures of that. They did the thorough cleaning. They varnished my teeth with fluoride. They said, oh, by the way, they said once again, are you ready for this?
Yes.
The gums of a 20-year-old. Yes, 20-year-old addicted to crystal meth.
No.
About the
X-ray, some reason, and I've been doing a little research about this because I know there are dogs in my family that go nuts during a thunderstorm, and they
right.
have something, it's like a thunder jacket.
Shirt.
A thunder yeah. shirt where it's a heavy thing they wrap on a dog, so it feels like it is being like caressed or cuddled during a thunderstorm. Don't right. you feel so nice when they put the lead apron on you during the X-rays? Really?
I love the lead apron.
It
tells me yeah. they're shooting you full of radiation, which
the
which
thing I don't
me.
Like is when you have to bite down on the X-ray thing and they put it too far back and you're
uh-huh.
gagging.
Well, they have not improved on that technology, and I had that yesterday where they put this giant apparatus in your mouth so they can take pictures of your teeth. But my point about the entire experience is that I have never had – this is not to slam our guy.
And we've not mentioned his name.
But I have never had a more thorough cleaning and exam than I had with the – it was so – detailed. It truly, truly was not nearly the yucks though that we used to get at the other place where they said, "Here you go." That's so funny. We're gonna be off Friday. Here's a bill for $2,000. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Hey, you want to say that you're offering this in the spirit in which it is offered? This is just a better place.
It is.
And you don't mean any harm by it?
It was a machine. It was absolutely, it was big. They have two dentists and four hygienists in there. It was rocking. It was great. It was unbelievably thorough. You know, we had a conference call yesterday, so I wanted to make sure I was out of there by 3 o'clock. Stop it. I wanted to make sure that Rob just gave the thumbs up to the conference call. We actually, and so I said, yes, your appointment is 90 minutes. It was just, she was such a pro. Lady named Kara, who did my procedure yesterday. And
Irene?
Was really just, what's that?
Was it Irene Kara?
Who no, sang Kara fame? Was the first.
Name. Oh, okay. You, I'm sorry.
And it was just really, I don't know. I felt super. I don't like fluoride.
Let's see
fluoride
him.
Bugs
Let's see
me
him.
A little bit.
Let's see him. They look good.
Gums
look,
of a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Look at that.
And
look,
you know what's
that.
Great? Gums can regenerate. My gums were on the retreat like the French, and I started flossing
every
day.
Because you never flossed.
I never
did. It's disgusting.
Hey, but they're better now. I floss every day, thanks
to Zoolander. I used
to
stand next to you in that studio at WJFK. I remember those non-flossing days.
Yeah, well, you know
you'd
what?
Open
I
your
stood
mouth,
next to
you'd
you.
Open your mouth, and it'd like be standing in back of a refuse truck.
The problems in that studio for smells were multifold. Okay?
This is true.
I may
this
have contributed, but I was not the
hey,
primary problem.
Let me
problem.
Ask you, sincerely, and
yes.
We've worked together for a million years.
Yes,
but
we
the,
have.
The question I have for you that when it comes to odor emission,
yes.
I think, I like to think of myself overall, and let's include producers, personalities, everybody, in our inner circle, would it be safe? And Buzz doesn't count because he was in a separate room altogether.
Yes, a hermetically sealed room.
I was certainly not the smelliest guy.
No, as a matter
like
of fact,
I
will
I
say something.
Clean.
I will say something that may be misinterpreted by many, but mm-hmm. I mean it only in the most brotherly, praising way.
I'm looking forward to this right now.
Mike is the best smelling person at WJFK because
you
would
go.
Give yourself.
Thank
good,
you.
And you know what? That was one of the pleasures of driving that
Thank
beautiful
you.
Little Mercedes you had.
Yes.
That bronze-colored Mercedes.
That car did not stink, did
because
it?
Because what happened is Mike would douse himself in expensive perfumes mm-hmm. before
right.
he'd come into the studio.
I would. I
and,
would indeed.
And it was,
I'd
I
like
mean,
to smell good. I would shower, and I would like to be clean, and I would be brushed and
but
washed
it was
and
reminiscent
mouthwashed and all that good stuff, as I do today.
When you see old biblical spectacles, when they mm-hmm. would take... the queen and dab her with the
yes.
essential oils and
That's
the
it.
Rare yeah. smells.
Right.
And just to see Mike going through the lobby to take his
right.
daily crap.
Right.
If you got caught in his wake and caught
right.
that cologne. What cologne did
it's
you
beautiful.
Wear back then? It was
Carolina Herrera.
Oh, my.
Or Carolina Herrera.
God, if, yeah. No, yeah. High karate.
That was, yes. Brute. Shea Brute. I will tell you,
you
that yesterday.
You are a very good smelling man.
Yesterday, prior to my dentist appointment, knowing that I was of course freshly showered, but brushed my teeth a third time before I went to the
See,
appointment.
That's not and what then, I do at all.
And then splashed on a little cologne because I'm going to be working in close proximity with people, and you want it to be a pleasant experience. You don't want to overdo it. If you overdo it, you have the opposite effect. You will be people will think that you're disgusting and covering something. But I would say
you're a
95% of the shows that I even do from this. Room. There'll be days you can say, if I'm wearing a hat, you know I'm grungy.
Yeah.
That's the way it
when
is.
When I go to the dentist, I skip the shower and I eat Oreos.
So. Oreos and cashews. and then you
and
then,
doctor.
And then right before you come in from the lobby, you carry a lobster tail in with you. And you gnaw on that for a little
now,
bit.
Now, question though, because
works.
There are, you know, obviously there are shortcomings to any dental office.
Right.
And we've mm-hmm. enumerated some for the one we used to share. But
well,
one
I,
of
the
strengths,
thing that I hate about the place we used to share is that I think they were a ripoff. And in that he, you know, top dollar because he's in that zip
yeah,
code.
Yeah, but you know
and,
what? He's done some great surgeries on
he
me.
Did good, he did good stuff with me. He
but,
did. He was a great dentist. I don't dis-
and
dis- but he was expensive.
A lovely staff. And
yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
A lovely staff that had great hours.
Well, yeah. Well, don't be so bitter. I'm just talking
I'm
about
bitter.
How
Why can't I be bitter?
They were.
When I got my bill for that last crown, I was bitter as hell.
Well, you
bitter,
that,
totally bitter
you
as hell.
Should have gotten an actual crown for
yeah.
that.
When I was on that Tony's that Tony's insurance that I was on, you know, it's
hey.
Like nope. Oh, as a matter of fact, yesterday she's checking my new insurance down here in
yes.
Florida, and she says, "Where did you get this insurance?" I said, oh, it's this little company called Blue Cross Blue Shield, lady. And I really freaked out and said, no, calm down. I just haven't seen this one before. So, well, that's because it's new to screw you for 2016.
But
yay,
you're no
yay.
Longer with Tony Perkins Insurance?
No, not Tony Perkins' insurance. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, because Gary Stein keeps trying to get me to buy it.
I know. Yeah. But it was great. And I do have to have a little crown work done where they have to replace one that's got a little problem. But other than that, the gums of a 20-year-old, and I'm very happy.
You know what
that.
You have, Mike? Dazzling gingiva.
Thank you very much.
That's very
Keep
nice.
Keep smoking. That'll change. Anyway, we'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills right here at MikeOberaShow.com, everybody. Less conversation,
more action. Hello, technology enthusiasts. Since 2008, Tech 4-in-1 has been providing you with a dazzling cocktail of state-of-the-art info and rib-tickling entertainment. Oscar Santana and Todd Moore really bring it week after week, but now it's even better. Thanks to me, Mike McIntosh. You know, Mac, the intern. Now that I'm a regular on Tech 4-11, the sky's the limit. Tune in and live the magic. It's Tech 4-in-1 with Oscar, Todd, and me, Mac, the intern. Available on the TMOS app, iTunes, and tech411show.com. Holla.
Man, oh man.
Sorry you missed that session yesterday, Mike.
Oh, man. Holla.
Holla.
The MPS continues. That is a
MPS
Misfit Placement Service. Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of our program brought to you by Betterment. It's a question we all ask. How should I manage my money? Whether you're a multi-million dollar investor or you're just starting out, the answer is Betterment. Betterment has created a smarter technology to automate investing. And they help you make better financial decisions. You can invest for your personal goals and you can stay on track for retirement. Betterment is the easier way to invest at a fraction of the cost of traditional investment services. Face it, the revolution of smarter, more straightforward, personalized investing has begun. I'm sure many of you are already aware of it.
Oh, yeah.
Betterment is leading the way. It's streamlined approach to investing. It's automated. It's easy to use. The future is here. And by the way, investors, this may be a time, I know you hear all the doom and gloom out there in the world of finance, but this may be the time you seriously want to get cracking.
Of course, I think
it's a great idea. Betterment is already managing billions of dollars for more than 100,000 customers. Isn't it time you took control of your financial future? Sign up on your computer or smartphone today and get up to 6 months of automated investing free and more information by going to betterment.com/TMOS. That's BETTERMENT.com/TMOS. Betterment is investing made easy.
News.
If you were ever going to buy a lottery ticket, this is my investing right here.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I wish you would please read this story in the DJ voice.
Hey. Yeah, okay, because it really is a straight lotto story. That I'm leaving, because you have to. Yeah. You do what I do, you have to put this in the news because it's that relevant. If you're ever going to buy a lottery ticket, this might just be the day to do it. The Powerball drawing tomorrow night is going to have a jackpot of around $700 million. Possibly even more. And that's the bit. It'll always be more. You know why? It's going to be more because we're all rubes.
Yeah, and it escalates. It gets faster. Yes. The higher it gets. I mean, Mike, I almost said something that I really wish I had. And I almost said, the higher it gets, the higher it gets.
The higher it gets, the higher it gets.
Jackson.
I predict it'll be more. It's probably $750 million already.
I think so.
That's the biggest lottery jackpot in history. The previous record, $656 million in 2012. If you win and take the lump sum, you'll get about $428.4 million.
Wow.
Assuming about half of that goes to taxes, hold on a second. Assuming about half of that goes to taxes, you're winding up with $214 million, not too bad. Does that mean local taxes?
I think all taxes, and I think it's closer to 45%, but I think a lot of people just think half to make it easy.
Okay.
And besides, so, 10% will go to my church.
Oh, I get it. So it's not like you're getting 214 out of the 700 million, but it is BS. I always hate to do that because
it's not scary.
$750 million.
The lottery itself is going to the government anyway, and then the government wants half more. You know what I say? They are rubes, and I'm not buying a ticket, but I still want to win.
Your odds of winning? Well, if I win, you'll win. How about that?
And Mike, when I win, you win.
Thank you. Well, no, of course I would. I would. Yes. How can I not? You know, with a big goodbye. Anyway, your odds of winning
the best gift you could give
are 1 in 292.2 million. So I'm saying there's a chance. 1 in 292.2 million. Powerball tickets are available in 44 states, everywhere but Alaska, Hawaii, Nevada, Utah, Alabama, and Mississippi. Alabama, Mississippi. Couldn't they let them have lotto tickets, for Christ's sake? Isn't it rough enough in those states?
They have their own state-run lotteries that involve fingers falling off and toes.
The cost is $2, and the drawing is at 10:59 p.m. tomorrow. So stay by your TVs.
That's right. Keep those cards and letters coming.
When it's freezing outside, you complain and wish it was warmer. When it's insanely hot outside, you complain and wish it was colder. But which is worse? Rob Spiewak has very strong feelings
about
this.
Yes, I hate the heat. Screw it.
A new study analyzed 1 billion tweets to finally prove what temperatures we really hate more, really hot or really cold. The answer is, are you ready for this, Rob Spiewak?
Yes, go.
Really hot.
Yay! Woo! Once again, America agrees with Rob Spiewak.
We start complaining a lot when the temperature jumps into the 80s, then keep on complaining even more into the 90s and 100s. We don't get nearly as upset when the temperature dips into the 40s, 30s, 20s, and lower. Researchers found that a jump from 72 degrees to 90 makes the average person as miserable as they are on Mondays when they have to start the work week. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably...
That's a screwed up survey. You can't compare temperatures to a day of the week.
Yeah. I think it's different down where I live because I live in a tropical climate. I believe that it's not as dramatic. But let me tell you, when you get into June, July, August down here, and then you realize you're going to get it for September, October, and this year, November, people get a little testy.
What's your weather today? What's your weather today?
Today be 75. Probably it's cloudy and rainy here. So,
cloudy and rainy 75. Here too, and 40.
Yep,
you're going to be 40 today.
Coldplay will have a very high-profile guest at the Super Bowl. She has a French name, and she has a sister. Pepsi confirms. Rob, get ready to Entertainment Tonight that... will join the band on stage during their performance at the Pepsi Super Bowl 50 halftime show. She will not be joined by her sister. Presumably, the group will deliver a live rendition of Hymn for the Weekend, which is featured on their seventh studio album, A Head Full of Dreams, and features vocals from, I love it when they call her Bae.
You know what? I love this Coldplay booking because now there is really no problem whatsoever taking a leak at halftime.
Amen. But we'll see. I'm looking forward to the playoffs this year.
Yes.
Should be a lot of
fun. Should
be good. As cool a story as it would have been, we had it for you yesterday. Amy Schumer did not, I repeat, she did not meet her boyfriend on the dating app Bumble, even though I had that in news you may not need yesterday. In a series of tweets yesterday, she said, quote, please let the record show I have never in my life been on Bumble. I prefer the old-fashioned way, hashtag prostitution. Okay, that's funny. For the record, she didn't say she didn't meet him on a different dating app. By the way, speaking of dating, you still dating that girl there, Rofo? You still happily in like with her?
Yeah, going strong.
Wow, have you seen her Bumbles lately?
All the time.
Oh, God. Okay, all right. Listen how slick he is. Listen
slick.
Yeah, still going strong.
That's right.
How you doing, Rofo?
Oh, I'm doing great. I've been shooting movies.
Yeah. Is that code?
What days you coming in next week, Rofo?
Right now, Monday, Thursday, and Friday. If all goes to plan.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Or as we call them, the good days.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? You know what? Next week, we might talk to you.
If I feel like it.
Anyway, the producers.
In his face, he was served. You know what happened? You just got mic'd.
Oh.
If I feel like it. Mike just did a mic drop.
The producers of Kung Fu Panda 3 employed some child labor in the recording studio in the form of Angelina Jolie's kids. Yeah. 12-year-old Pax, 10-year-old Zahara, 9-year-old Moonzip, Velveeta, you know, all the kids. They did some noises for the pandas. She says, quote, they were kind of shy. They really don't want to be actors, but I didn't want them to miss the opportunity. They came in and they had a lot of fun with it. Can we maybe give a gig to some child star wannabe whose stage mom is behind in the rent? Can we do that as opposed to, you know, do they really need to have those kids?
What you need to do, Mike, take your children to see Kung Fu Panda and ask them, can you find the panda? Because he's everywhere. It's a lot of fun.
10 past the hour.
Hey, and now a little something something for everybody. A 25-year-old guy named William Cornelius proposed to his 20-year-old girlfriend, Sherry Moore, at a Walmart in Bay City, Michigan last Wednesday. Now, Bay City, for those of you that care about such things, is about 100 miles north of Detroit, for those of you that might want to plan a vacation.
Is it named after Beyonce?
I'm not quite sure. Bay. B-E-Y City. He walked in, he bought a $30 ring, proposed over the loudspeaker, and she said yes, but unfortunately, their engagement got off to a rough start pretty quickly. Right after they left Walmart, they went to a nearby mall where William got arrested for shoplifting a bunch of sex toys from a Spencer's Gifts.
Oh, no. Yeah. They still have those?
He got a $15 vibrator. He got a $6 pair of thong panties and a pair of bride-to-be underwear. Not sure what that looks like, but yeah. I'd love to see it.
I'm wearing them right now.
Someone at the store called the cops, who eventually found him sitting in the food court where he apparently had fallen asleep while tying his shoes.
They also arrested
Sherry for stealing a pair of earrings and a necklace. She tried to blame Cornelius for it, but they had her on video. They're facing charges for larceny and retail fraud. Just glad that neither his father, Don Cornelius, nor his grandfather, Yukon, are around to witness this terrible tragedy.
Bumbles bounce! Okay.
Silver gold! Yes, sir. Remember, it was peppermint.
That's right.
He tasted the pick, it was peppermint.
That's right. And the Burr Alive snowman looking for heroin.
That's right. And Yukon Cornelius got E. coli and died. We'll take a
not
break.
Not all the stories end happy, Mike.
No, not all of them, Rob. We'll have the final Audio Vault of the week coming up next right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tony Boom Boom Perkins.
I'm Sugar Ray Robinson.
And on tomorrow's episode of the show, wrong Sugar Ray. It's Sugar Ray Leonard.
That's the right Sugar Ray.
Woo! We're going to talk to him about his career, about what he's doing today. We're going to get into detail about specific moments in some of his great fights.
I love the way you said that. I've got nothing else to say.
All right, Sugar Ray Leonard. Be sure to check it out, TonyPerkinsShow.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and download the brand new Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, busy people. It's the first of the year. You're running a business.
Yes.
Or you're the person that's in charge of hiring and you need to make those changes. First of the year is when everybody starts reevaluating, making some different calls, and getting better people in to your business. I can tell you this for sure. Your company is only as good as the people you hire. I can also tell you that posting your job in only one place is not the way to find the quality candidates you need. If you're already short-staffed, you don't want to deal with dozens of different job sites. Here's what you want to do. You want to try ZipRecruiter.com, where you can post to over 100 sites with a single click. In just one post to ZipRecruiter.com, you can watch your candidates appear in ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. ZipRecruiter clients love it. They say it goes from painful to easy when they use ZipRecruiter.com. They've been used by over 400,000 businesses, and you can try it right now, and here's the lovely word that you like so bad. You can try it absolutely free.
Nice.
Getting the right people for your company is so important. Try ZipRecruiter right now and get your perfect candidate before they go to somebody else. Try ZipRecruiter today, and it's free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS to get started. Try it for free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/TMOS. And without further ado, let's open up the audio vault with Rob Spiewak for Friday, Jan 8, 2015.
Happy birthday, Elvis, as Tommy Lang said. And as 2016, we're 8 days into it, it continues to be a really remarkable year for celebrity death. Now, you know, Mike, we were together when I found out about the death of Bonnie Franklin. We were actually in the car on the way to Florida, and I was able to share that moment with you, which was tragic indeed.
It was indeed. Yes.
And I guess the One Day at a Time reunion, the chances are getting thinner, as yesterday we lost Pat Harrington Jr. at age 86.
Schneider.
To Alzheimer's disease. And if you doubt if you doubt the fact that he colored his hair and he was old on One Day at a Time, remember his first sitcom was Make Room for Daddy.
Yeah, he was
an old guy.
And a real, you know, great character actor in Hollywood, and
Emmy
did a nice
winning
job. A good stand-up comedian too.
Yeah,
right?
Emmy winning and Golden Globe winning. He did a yep. He had a great career, and I did want to mention him. We have here a pretty funny outtake of him trying to get a line out. This was cut from the show, obviously. Here's a Schneider blooper from One Day at a Time.
He lost his job, his friends, his teeth. They made mincemeat, meat out of his. They made some kind of meat out of his. What the hell?
I need trouble with that line, but I'm a vegetarian, you know.
So safe home, Pat Harrington Jr. Yesterday, Bill Clinton on the campaign trail for his wife had a very funny moment. I really enjoy this.
This is a good moment.
There are other issues that keep Americans up at night. And my phone's ringing. I have to call Hillary back and explain why I couldn't take it.
That was pretty quick. I like that.
I like him. With the Powerball hoopla, everybody, they've got all the young reporters going out to all the convenience stores and talking to people about what they would do if they won. Here's one from Nevada.
Hey, you never, you know, really, I could do a whole show on it.
Of course.
On the rubes that we are.
Yeah.
And what's being spoon-fed to us and just, I mean, it's just so much crap. And I don't know. Pick up Esquire magazine with Jimmy Fallon on the cover for December and January. Just, you know, get it on, you know, use your texture app and check out Esquire, okay? You can get Esquire. As soon as you get texture, you can get Esquire. Really check it out because it really talks about just how spoon-fed we are
of course.
With everything. It's really insane.
Everything gets easier, we are very
I'm
pleased
sucked
to take
in.
What's...
Yeah. I participate.
Of course.
I'm just, you can't not. It's an addiction. It really is. It's crazy.
However, I don't think you'd handle the Powerball the way this gentleman would.
We're here at the line where people are doing it the old-fashioned way. They're just filling out bubbles here. I want to turn some of these people around and ask you guys, sir, do you know your chances of winning?
Slim to none.
Slim to none. You're right. Let me tell you, it's one out of 292 million. What do you think about that?
I knew it.
You knew it. Your numbers are lucky, though. Am I right?
I hope so.
Can I ask you, if you won all the money, what would you do with it?
Bunch of hookers and cocaine.
Oh, okay. God. We're hoping for a different answer. That's probably not the answer that we're looking for.
I like that.
You didn't count on that live at 5, did you? There you go. Way to go, dude. Nice
All right.
job.
While we were on a holiday, I've been meaning to play this for you. I think you'll like this on two levels. Dick Van Dyke was out promoting the fact that he's about to turn 90, and I think he was doing something with Mary Poppins. He did the Conan show, and Dick Van Dyke continues to be so sharp and so funny. Neat moment one, before the Brian Setzer Orchestra played their Christmas song, I don't even know if Conan knew this was coming. They did a tribute to Dick Van Dyke. They opened up the curtain, and there's the huge Brian Setzer Orchestra, and they do this.
Ah, that's great.
Isn't that awesome?
That's cool.
I really liked it. So he was on there, and what was really neat is they caught him backstage at another show. I think this might have been at The View.
Didn't we try to go to Setzer one time? Didn't you and I try to do that? Something didn't go right.
It didn't
right,
work. The problem was is that we were back in Fairfax, and it was at that Rockville venue, and
yep.
there was no way to make the timing work.
That's right.
We literally couldn't get there in time.
File that on with the Tom Jones show that we didn't make out in Reno one of these days.
Mike, we have the best list of concerts we didn't go to of anybody. Anyway, here is they asked Dick Van Dyke about falling over the ottoman in the opening credits of his show. I'm sorry, that's not the right tape, but this is...
Dick Van Dyke, your opening for your show, when you trip over the ottoman,
mm-hmm.
It's a very big ottoman. Didn't you notice it was there after how many seasons?
No, it was my idea to fall over it, and I just did it in rehearsal one day for fun, and Carl decided it was a good opening. And then, of course, we shot one where I sidestepped it. And we found out that people were gambling on that, or whether or not I'd fall over the ottoman. Unbelievable.
Do people now ask you to fall over things?
Yes, I don't do that anymore. It hurts now.
You know, we've got to meet a lot of really cool people through the years that we've been together. Meeting
yes.
him was one of the coolest.
Oh, absolutely.
That was really awesome.
Absolutely. A true legend. I mean, Dick Van Dyke, who doesn't love him? It's fantastic.
All right, now back into this century. Sam Jackson was on the Andy Cohen show, Watch What Happens Next, and this really surprised me. You know, he played Mace Windu, a Jedi, in the second batch of Star Wars movies, the ones that no one likes.
Right.
And they asked him if he'd seen The Force Awakens and what Sam Jackson thought of it.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right. not crazy about it.
It's cool. You know, it's in the right spirit.
Right. Were you pissed that you weren't in it? Did you want to be in it?
I'm always pissed I'm not in the movie.
Right. You are. You are. Okay, so I'm on Rotten Tomatoes, what would your score, what would you give it?
Excellent question, Andy.
Really?
Yeah.
On TV?
Yeah.
That's some bull.
He never answered.
He didn't answer. Listen, the thing that's great about Sam Jackson, and you're seeing so much of him now because the Hateful Eight is out.
Right, right.
That guy, man, uncompromising is the word I would use for
exactly.
Sam Jackson.
Exactly, I think that's
but
perfect.
But he does it in an endearing way.
He
and
does.
That is, there are not many people that are even capable of
you know
that.
What the beauty of it is? It's honest. And he does. Yep. He comes off as so honest. Did you see
what
him?
I give the Rotten Tomatoes score? That's some BS right there, Andy.
Did you see when Donald Trump said that they had never met? Yeah. He lied about it. He pulled out a scorecard. It was great. Yeah, all right, exactly. Let's close with this, Mike. Let's send a shout out to the Germans who are revolutionizing birth control.
Interesting news out of Germany. In Germany, a man invented a birth control device that allows men to turn off the flow of semen. Yeah. Unbelievable, yeah. The device is called Mom Jeans.
That is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show has come and gone. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Vistaprint. It's an old saying, but it still holds true. You only get one chance to make a first impression, and we love our business cards
yes.
from Vistaprint. If you need to run a small business, sometimes a first impression is all you need. Make it a great one with Vistaprint.com. Right now, you can get 500 business cards for just $9.99. Entering the code TMOS at checkout. That's how you do that. 500 cards under 10 bucks. Trust me, if you want to impress a client and have them remember you, do what I do. Just hand them a beautiful Vistaprint card. You can choose from Vistaprint's great templates or use your own logo or artwork like we did.
Yes.
You can upgrade to their signature stock like I did. Even Raise Print did that too. Remember, use the code TMOS at Vistaprint.com and you get 500 business cards for $9.99. That is a 50% savings. Great quality. Easy to customize, and your satisfaction absolutely guaranteed. If you're not happy, Vistaprint will make it right. Just visit Vistaprint.com, create your custom card, and use promo code TMOS at checkout. Remember, that's TMOS. Don't wait. Go to Vistaprint.com and order today. For Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.